morning, everyone. My name is Garrett. If we haven't gotten to meet before, especially if you've only been here a few weeks, we've not met before. So I'm one of the other pastors. We have three here, so it's good to know you, and maybe at the end of service we can meet more intentionally. I want to start out this morning saying that on the street where you live or in the town where you live, about one out of five people are in church this morning. Now, some of you say, well, that can't be right. I read the census. It says in our area, 40% of people are regular churchgoers. But that includes people that only go once a month, so long as they go regularly, and that's what some people can do. But I'm saying this morning, right now, one out of five of people we know are here or somewhere in the city worshiping and serving God in this way. Think about the street where you live on. I live in a cul-de-sac. There are eight families, and I can promise you that two are in a church this morning. So we're beating the odds on my street, but only by a little bit. Why is that? I think this is kind of how it goes. You love God, and you want to grow in that love, so you figure the place to do that is to go to church. Or maybe you're not sure if you believe, you have spiritual questions, and if you think about it for a minute, probably the best place to get spiritual questions answered is where a bunch of spiritual people hang out, so I'll go to church, see if I can have these questions answered. Or maybe some of you have gotten a certain place in life, and you have a lot of the things you wanted and some you didn't, but you have this nagging feeling that there should be more. I'm not sure I have purpose. I'm not sure there's a meaning for all the things that I'm doing. How would I find that? Why was I created? And so some of you have come to church to see, is there a purpose? Is there a meaning to it all? So you've come to church. So you come, and there's a lot of singing, as there has been, and there's a lot of talking, as there has been and will continue to be. And so you do that. You do that each week. You come in, and you go, and you have, you know, 16 minutes with friends. And then after about two or three years of doing this, it starts to cycle around, and you've heard everything I'm going to say before, okay? I'm no longer saying anything new to you. And so it's not value added anymore, so you leave the church. And then no one notices that you left, so you feel totally validated that you left because no one even noticed evidently that I was there because they didn't notice when I'm gone. So then you go to another church. You do it all over again, talking, singing, coming, going. After about two or three years, you've heard everything they had to say. They had a few new points because they were different. And then after about 15, 20 years of doing this cycle, you have heard it all before. There is nothing they're saying that you had not been there, done that, bought the t-shirt, and sold it at a garage sale. So now what do you do? What some people do is they just start bouncing around the churches faster. They start going like they're going to the movies, different church every few weeks. That keeps them amused. But a lot just quit going. And so we come to this morning where one out of five people around us in our communities are in the church this morning. Now, a few of those churches that you went to, you got comfortable enough with somebody to complain. To say, I had some needs here I came for. Those really aren't addressed. Or at some of those churches, you got to the point where you could make a suggestion about some things that could maybe make it work better for you. And what did they say every single time you brought that up at a church? They said, well, you need to get involved and get connected. They said you needed to get involved and get connected, but what they meant was that they wanted you to greet people at the door when they come in, or they wanted you to help pass out snacks during the early childhood hour, or they wanted you to go sit an hour with surly teenagers and try to keep a lid on that, or they wanted you to clean the glass on the front of the church, or they wanted you to go to one of those home, you know, groups, Bible study or prayer or whatever the flavor of the week is. They want you to go to one of those groups that meets in someone's home during the week. Or any one of 100 things they wanted you to do, none of which had anything to do with the reason why you came. You wanted to grow and become spiritually well-rounded. You wanted to find connection with people, to feel that someone loves you, to have someone to love and celebrate in return. You wanted to live with purpose, to know you were living with purpose in God's name. And they just wanted you to do a bunch of church junk and to use you to get it done. So you got a big bait and switch. Come for growth and love and purpose. But before you leave, you know, you're washing coffee pots from the coffee bar. So you bounce from church to church, waiting for someone to get it right. What did you become during all that bouncing? Some of you became the crabby, fundy church person who just runs around giving everybody the baptism test. You know, everybody you meet, the only thing spiritual you can think to say is, well, what do you think about baptism? What do you think about baptism? You know, can you do babies or just for adults? What do you think about baptism? Do you have to immerse everybody or can you do sprinkling? And, you know, and that's all you can do. That's the only spiritual thing you got to say is just to give everybody the baptism test to see if you can put them in the good guy or bad guy category. That's what you became. Some of you, all that you became from all that bouncing around, some of you just felt very alone. Somebody who felt very unloved, unsure if someone loves you. Maybe you're sure about God, maybe not, but God's people, you're pretty sure they don't. Some of you from all that bouncing around became a person without purpose. Although, at every single church you went to, they said, God has a wonderful plan for your life. But whatever it was, you never got close to it that you know of. What happened? So now here you are this morning at Lakeland Community Church, perhaps still feeling without connection, maybe still feeling without friends, maybe still feeling without purpose. And what you want to know is, what's going to be our suggestion? Do we have some new offering for you? And at this point, I will tell you that in this regard, Lakeland Community Church is like every other church you've ever been to. So I'm going to say to you right now that you should be involved and get connected. And what I mean by that is we want you to greet people at the door when they come in the service, or we want you to pass out snacks during the early childhood hour, or we want you to help us design some stage sets and build things to beautify here, or pray with hurting people in the prayer team, or fix our computer problems, or play games with the junior high kids, or mow the grass around the building, or wash the pots at the coffee bar, or any one of 100 things. But now I'm going to tell you why we want you to do those things. Okay, so I'm going to lay all of our cards on the table, all face up, so we can all see them. At the end of this 25 minutes, I will not have any cards left in my hand. I will not have any hidden in my sleeve. We'll have seen it all. We want you to do those things because we want you to stick around. And we want you to stick because we want you to grow. We studied this here in this church. We had a list of people who were in the church. We had the same list 2 years later. Some still here, some not. And here's what we found. The people who stayed were in those home groups, those small groups, their Bible study or prayer, whatever it is they were doing. The people who stayed were in those. But four times more often than that, the people who stayed were serving somewhere, doing one of those church junk jobs. I said church drunk, I think, but I meant church junk. We have groups for that too. Okay. The people who were doing both the home group and the serving somewhere, they almost never left. And that list of people who after 2 years weren't around anymore, they usually were not involved in either. So we want you to stick. We want you to serve because we want you to stick. We want you to stick because we want you to grow. And our prayer for those people who have moved on, our prayer this morning is that they will find a church where they can be comfortable and they can be connected and they can be to stick and be with people and to grow, which is what they're all looking for. And we pray that for them wherever they may be this morning. And I hope you would join with me in praying that for them, that they would not drift and bounce around. For the rest of us, if you serve, evidently you are four times more likely to stick than anything else you might do. And so we are always going to push everyone here to serve because we want everyone here to stick around. And we want everyone here to stick around so that you will grow and you will be loved, and you will live with purpose, all those things you came for. This is just how people are. This is how it happens. When you contribute to something, you are known at a higher level, whatever it is. When you contribute, you're known at a higher level. When I first started dating my wife, Ashley, once we started, you know, getting serious, I started going to, like, Thanksgiving and Christmas with her family. And at those gatherings, I was Ashley's boyfriend. Until after Thanksgiving dinner, I got up and went into the kitchen to wash the dishes. Now, washing the dishes, I'm standing at the sink with Debbie and Melanie. And there we started talking about, oh, where we came from and how we grew up and what we like and what we don't like. And the three of us were all kind of the in-laws, so we could go like, why is this family so nuts? Are you sure you want to marry into this? All right, so we had all that kind of fun too. All right, because we're the in-laws, but we're, get it? We're washing the dishes, but we're getting to know one another. Ashley's brothers, I really have had the most significant conversations I've had with them while we ride to the gas station to get the ice. Does it take 5 adult men to go to the gas station and get 2 bags of ice? Evidently. But, on the way up the road to Lori there from Lake of the Ozarks, we're talking about all what's been going on and what's funny and what's not so funny. And that's where we get to know. The longest conversations I've had with Ashley's mom, who then becomes my mother-in-law, is slicing tomatoes to make homemade salsa. To make homemade salsa from scratch for 18 people is a lot of tomatoes. And they're all like foodies. So they dice them real small. Days we're there chopping for things that are eaten in minutes. But we're talking. We're talking about everything while we're slicing tomatoes. This is the way family is. When you contribute, you're known at a higher level. Church is a family. I have a friend in the church. His name is Dennis. And for this church used to meet in a movie theater. And so for 6 years, Dennis and I got up. Every morning we met there at the movie theater at 6 in the morning and built stage and built lights and did all this. Had church, and then we had to tear it down by 1 o'clock because the movie was starting. So we'd tear the whole thing down. Every Sunday we did this for 6 years. Dennis's wife is named Diane, and she and I would work on scripts and edit scripts and direct dramas and things that happened in the church. Somewhere, though, during all this stage building and script editing, I got to talk to them about, how they met and, the fact that they got engaged after just knowing each other for 2 weeks. And now they've been married 41 years, so, they upend everything I teach in premarital class. I try never to talk about them. And we learned about how they grew up and who their parents were and what their kids were like before, they became my friends and all this sort of thing. It was one of those nights editing scripts at the office that I was there when Diane got the call that her mother was dying. And so she had to leave, so we went out in the parking lot and through a pickup truck window, we prayed together. Ken is my friend in the church. We started out brainstorming ideas for what might happen during a church service. Somewhere in there, I ended up being over at his house painting his daughter's bedrooms. They were moving into a new house. And he ended over at my house blowing insulation into the attic. And then, somehow we became friends. Kristen was my friend in the church. We started out just organizing rehearsal times for service. Can you believe all the mistakes you see? This thing actually is rehearsed. And then when I went off to seminary, Kristen and her family came over and gave me the book bag that I used to carry my books and my computer for 3 years, lugging around in seminary. These are all my friends. And it was all forged here, somewhere in between doing a bunch of church junk that I could have thought had nothing to do with what I came for, huh? And this is where my people are. These people, I love these people, and these people love me. And if, I got some offer to move away, I'd really have to think about that now. Because this is where my people are, my wife's people, my kids' people. It helps now that, you know, you've called me to be your pastor and there's a paycheck, so that helps. But that aside, I would have to think about it just for the people. Now, I spent a lot of time here also getting my key belief questions down. Like, what do I think about baptism? It actually does matter. It's not a dumb question. What do I believe about that? But I only got that answered and 100 other questions about the kingdom of God because I stuck around. And I only stuck around because I had connection. And all those connections were formed while we were serving. In fact, I learned an awful lot during that stuff that I thought didn't matter, because when you put on a church service, you think a lot about what's going to happen in that church service. You wrestle with the questions at a much deeper level. If you've ever had the privilege of being there when a child is taught the Bible story, let's face it, the kid's trying to find a spare Tootsie Roll to pick off the floor or something, but you're really engaged. Like, oh, I never heard this story before. You know, you learn more about the Bible trying to teach it to children than you probably ever learn any other way. There's a lot of growth that happens just through serving, getting your hands dirty in it. And that is what we want for all of you. So that's why at the end of the service, I ask you to take that card that you hopefully saved. And if you didn't, we'll have a way out. You know that card? This is also how we take attendance, by the way, and see who's here and how it's going. But on that card, there's a section here that says, are you interested in taking a ministry tour? A ministry tour is where you express interest by circling one or two of these things that you're like, I might be interested in that, I don't know. And someone calls you and you come in usually before church or after, or some of them are during the week, and they just take 20 minutes and they show you, here's what we do and why. And then you can go think about it if that's something you want to do. So at the end of the service, I'm going to ask you to, if you're not doing this, to circle one of these and take a tour and see if there's something you might be interested in. If you already handed your card in, oops, or this thing is not your style, you can go to the church website, www.lakelandcommunitychurch.org, not .com. That's a church in Florida. We don't know them. They may be weird, and it's a heck of a drive. So, sure, they're great, though. .org, and then you go to that button there for Lakeland Connect. So you punch in there, and now you're getting closer. Here you sign in username and password. If you don't have one, that's what the raffle for next week, so get that fixed. And then you go to groups. And then you'll be offered this choice that says discover a new group. So you click that, and this serving thing drops. Now, you can search a bunch of stuff here, but if you really don't know, just don't put anything in here, and it will show you everything. So you can just click search straight away. It'll show you every group in the church. And the leaders have all been working on this to make sure there's descriptions of each one, so you can kind of peruse through, like, yeah, I like that. Oh, that sounds interesting. You know, and you can go through. And if you find some you're interested in, you click them, and then you click request to join group. That does not mean you have signed up, in this case, to make service props and stage design. You've not signed up. You've just said, I might like to design things or build things that go up here to make the service worshipful. What will happen when you click that is someone will then contact you and say, would you like to come in and take a tour of what we do and why? Take about 20 minutes. And then you can decide. So I might ask you to do that after the service. Because if you serve, you tend to stick, and if you stick, you can grow. So I'd like us to change gears here a moment and talk about the difference between a restaurant and a picnic. Our theme today is join the picnic. The difference between a restaurant and a picnic. So this is an audience participation moment. I want you to stick up your hand and tell me something you know that's the difference between a restaurant and a picnic. All right, ready, go. Yes. Okay, at a picnic, you tend to, you know, sit on the ground. It's comfortable. Not a lot is put into making it real fancied up for you. At a restaurant, how many of you are table people, and how many of you are booth people? Everyone's a booth person. Okay, thank you. Picnic and restaurant, yes. Inspection certificate. One more? An inspection certificate. Yeah, you know, at a picnic, everything's it's going the different direction I thought, but okay. Very health-minded. At a picnic, you know, it's not government-controlled and regulated, so anything might happen. You know, somebody's going to put cat food in the Jell-O or something like. But at a restaurant, somebody's checked it all off. Very clean, very nice, very sanitary and clinical. Yes, restaurants and picnics back there in the green shirt? Bring your food. Well, there you go. Yeah, that's a big one, isn't it? At a picnic, everyone brought something. And you serve yourself, right? Everyone involved in a picnic is going to put a dish down, pull the foil off, stick a spoon in it. Everyone's going to help, you know, clean up afterward. At a restaurant, it's not like that. At a restaurant, some are there to serve and some are there to eat, which is also different than a picnic, because at a picnic, although everyone's served, everyone also eats. Yes. Yeah, there's a lot more room at a picnic. We just keep jamming them in and jamming them in. At a restaurant, somebody also put a little certificate over the door that says, you know, no more than this. Yeah. Kids? Kids run free at a picnic. I've been to restaurants where they run free too. It's not an enjoyable experience, okay? So, yeah, over here, restaurants and picnics, way at the back. That's right. Friends or family at a picnic, everyone, you're connected and know each other in some way. At a restaurant, I spend a lot of my time hoping my wife doesn't run into someone from her childhood, because then she's going to talk to them for an hour and I have to fight the kids by myself, and, you know. And they, yeah, restaurants and picnics. I think you guys said most of what I put on here. And Lakeland, the church, is a lot more like a picnic. It's family. There's room for more. Everyone serves, but everyone eats. The kids are running free. We actually do have to do that health certificate, though, for the food we serve you. Not so much of the potluck, though. Okay, but I haven't seen the cat food jello either. Let's move on. Restaurant, picnic. Church is a lot more like a picnic. You are not customers. We want you to move to this level with the church. Then instead of saying, the church, you'd say, my church. Then instead of saying things like, you know what you guys ought to do? Or, you know what you guys do that I really like? You'd say, you know what we should do? Or, you know what I really like about the way we do it? And then when you invite somebody, you'd invite them like you're inviting them to a picnic. Hey, come with my people. Come to a church. You'll love it. Come be with us. As opposed to inviting them like you're inviting them to a restaurant. Hey, there's this church I go to. It's all right. I like it. You know, I think you'll like it too. If you don't, you don't have to tip. I want you to move to that place. Now, some of you, as we talk about everyone serves, you kind of get into cold chill. Because you're thinking, you know, with my work schedule, this is not really predictable. I travel a lot. I don't know. I work nights and then days and then days and then nights. I can't commit to anything. I can't do that. Some of you have children with special needs. You really don't know till Sunday morning, you know, how the thing is going to unfold. Some of you are just busy. Okay, here's what I want to say about that. There is a way to contribute and serve in the church that fits everyone. There's something that will fit any schedule, that will fit any life stage, any family scenario. I can't probably speak for all of our leaders, but I would say most of our leaders know that they'll have to be flexible and work around just exactly who you are. That's part of the reason we all pull together. Let's go ahead and address that. Some of you are sitting here right here this morning saying, I could probably not do something more than once a month, and who wants that? Okay. The funny thing is that there's about four of you thinking that. And if you would come around a leader that could organize in a way that, okay, you can do it once a month, and you could only do it once a month, and it's okay. And then a new ministry is unleashed. And there's new power that's unleashed. And your purpose is unleashed because you came together with four other people that can only do something once a month. And there's great power in that. We even have something here called Serve One, Attend One. We could actually fit the whole church just in one service in the sanctuary. It's plenty big, and the children's area is the same. But what we did when we used to do it that way, and what we found was then it was very restaurant style. Some were serving hospitality, children building, and some were in here eating, and then they just tried to manage that. So it didn't work. It didn't work. So for what we wanted to be, we wanted to be a picnic, so we split into two services even though we did not need to, so that then you could come and eat, for our analogy. But then you would go, while someone else had served your children, you'd be in here. And then you could go serve their children, and they'd come in here, and so everyone served one and attended one. Everyone served, and everyone ate. Now, I know what you're thinking as you hear that scenario. Oh, my gosh, I'll be here at church for 3 hours if I do that. Yes, everything fun in life takes 3 hours. Football game? 3 hours. Fellowship of the Ring, extended edition. 3 hours. Saying goodbye to a friend at the end of the night, just the saying goodbye part takes 3 hours, right? Because you're sitting at the table and you go, oh, look at the time, I have got to go. Yeah, okay. Did you want that recipe? Oh, yeah, the recipe. Ah, blah, 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 blah. 1 hour. Then you go to the front porch. You're like, okay, I really got to go. It's great. Oh, did you have these lawn lights? Oh, yeah, they're solar. Talk some more. So there's your other hour on the front porch. You go, okay, I really got to go. So you get in the car, and then what's somebody do? They roll down the window. Hey, and then you stand in the driveway, say goodbye for another hour. Saying goodbye to a friend, 3 hours. Football game, 3 hours. Lord of the Fellowship of the Ring, extended edition, 3 hours. Worshiping and serving God together in the church, 3 hours. Realistically, though, most of our teams, you can do it once a month or twice a month. Only people who really just love it are here every week. We want you to serve in these ways because you'll stick around. And we want you to stick around because you'll grow. And so that's why after this service, I want you to take that card and circle a couple of things you might be interested in, somebody contacting you on, showing you what it's all about, and handing that in. And if you already passed it in or that's not you, you go to the lakelandcommunitychurch.org and you click the Lakeland Connect button and you sign in with your username and password. And then you use the groups and discover a new group. And don't search for anything, and they'll show you everything. And you peruse them and find things you might be interested in. And when you click them, then you can click request to join group. And you're not in, but someone will then contact you and say, hey, I'd like to show you what this is all about. And you can decide if that's the place for you to connect. I wrote down some lyrics from the song, opening song they played this morning as I was sitting there listening. One of the lines were, we're made to live this life together. Well, you grow to heights in community. You never could grow any other way. There's a certain amount of growth you can do, just you and God and prayer and you and the Bible and maybe even you and a radio preacher or watching it on TV. But there are some things you cannot grow that way. How do I forgive? Can really only become a forgiver in community where stuff happens and then you have to forgive one another. How do I have conflict with people I love and then still come out, you know, friends, but with a conflict dealt with? You can only learn how to do conflict and do it well in community. How do I become less selfish? You can only do that with other people. God doesn't have only children. Another line from the song said, we were never made to walk alone. You know what else doesn't happen in a restaurant? They don't share their recipes. Like you can ask what the key spice in this dish was, and they'll kind of like, oh, okay, I'll tell you, maybe. But they will not come out with a card and tell you how they made this. In fact, one of my wife's favorite hobbies is to go on websites and surf for disgruntled employees who have left popular chains and posted their signature dishes so that she can make whatever it is we like at the Olive Garden at home without having to go. Because they don't share their recipes, see? But at a picnic, everyone shares their recipes. Oh, how'd you make this? Wait, I want to know. Get their pen. Everybody gets out their note cards. They're all writing it down. You know, it's on Pinterest by that afternoon. So church is also like a picnic in that we share our recipes. Let me tell you how Jesus Christ saved my life. Let me tell you how Jesus Christ redeemed my marriage. Let me tell you how studying the scriptures took me off the ledge on how to raise children because, you know, it said bring a child up in the way he should go and he'll not depart from it. And I thought that meant, like, teach him the right stuff and he'll never turn bad. Oh, thank God for Hebrew because that's not what it said. It said the mouth of his way like a river. It would say, like, find out who your children are made to be by God and then guide them into that. So if they're not turning out to be a soccer star, but they're turning out to be more of this, then the Bible says, well, lean into that. Go that way. If they're strong-willed, make them an activist and a leader. You know, if they're more of a follower, teach them how to be a really good follower. Okay, just go with what they are. That's what the scripture says. Isn't that a lot more peaceful? Whew. We share our recipes. We want everyone to join the picnic. We want you all to stick for the joy of the Lord. There is no other reason to do all this stuff that's going on other than that. Because after we have the joy of what he has done and is doing in our life, we almost have this giddy excitement to see what he'll do with the next person that comes through those doors. And so I want to pause the sermon right here for a moment and talk about the next person who comes through those doors. Because last week we had Easter. And somebody actually came up to me and said, when I got here late, and the side lots were all full, but the lot right in front of the building, I just drove right up and parked right in the front and walked in. New people don't like to sit down front here because if something weird happens, they want to leave. If the pastor pulls out a rattlesnake, they want to get out. So they don't like to come down and squeeze in. You know, they want to sit at the back in case it goes weird, then they can leave. And last week, all these seats up here in the front were full, and people could just fill in the comfortable, easy exit points. We asked everyone to get up early on Easter and come to first service if you could. And first service was full. First service looked like this plus some last week. And then second service was full also, so altogether we had like 1,000 people, over 1,000 people worship with us last week. But there wouldn't have been room in the second service if we'd done our normal thing. I actually was at a pastor's meeting last year, and after it was over, one of the pastors came up to me. He said, I drive by your church every morning on the way to mine. And I see what's going on there, the side lots filling up and your main lots empty. He said, I wish every Christian in this city cared about new people that way. He said, you guys got great people there. I said, I know. I know we do. So thank God for you, and thank you for showing hospitality. Hospitality is just making room. And these simple ways of getting up early and sitting up here where it's too loud and, you know, spitting distance, and parking away and walking further, you made room for the next new person to walk through that door out of the joy of the Lord. So that people that were already scared would come here were like, well, it was pretty easy to park and get where I wanted to be. It was really easy. And then I heard about this message about Jesus. I heard this recipe for life. So you did well. Thank you. Thank you. I'm very proud to be a part of this church with all of you. At Lakeland, we're a picnic. This is how we do it. We want to come together and stay together so we can grow our whole life. We want to actually get those key beliefs down. We do want that. Then we want to grow even further than that. We want to get into those sticky, messy lessons you can only learn with other people. How do I forgive? How do I do conflict with others? How can I be less selfish? We want that. We want God to change us into that kind of person. And then we want to grow even past that. We want to stick around until the impossible and the miraculous stuff starts happening. We want to have evil so eradicated from our soul that we don't even look like the same person we looked like 10 years ago. We want to be free of our hurts and our habits and our hang-ups. We want to feel loved by God and loved by others in a way we never have before. Miraculous, because some of us may have grown up in a place where we were never sure if anyone really loved us for just who we were. We want to feel that. We want to live with purpose. We want to know why I was created the way I am and what I have to offer this world. And then at the end of that, we want to praise God because only he could bring us that much miraculous power into our life. And all that happens. All that growth happens if you stick around. And all that sticking around happens because you have connection and this is your people. And evidently, four times more than anything else, you find your people when you serve, doing what at first looks like a bunch of mundane church junk. Connection through serving. So at this time, I'd like you to take your card. Hopefully you've had plenty of time to get it all filled out now because that's also our attendance. And if there's a couple of things on there you might be curious about, circle those. And someone will contact you and offer you a chance to come in for about 20 minutes sometime, a tour of some kind, and show you what they do and how they do it. And you can see if it's a fit. If you already passed your card in, or you're like, I'm not doing it this way, then you can go to the Lakeland website. You can go to the Lakeland website and click on Lakeland Connect. I'm going to go real fast. Sign in, groups, discover a new group. Leave the search wide open. Look at all the different things there are. There's many more than what are on that card. Find the one that's just for you and click request to join group, and then you'll get a tour to see if you're right. So let's go ahead and at this time pass those cards to this aisle and this aisle, and some ushers will come pick those up. If you're not quite done, you can hand that out to them. I want to tell you about next week. Some of you are sitting here thinking, I can't circle anything because I have no idea what I would like. I don't know what I would be good at. Did you know the scripture says that each of you have been given a spiritual gift by the Holy Spirit? It says this in three or four different places. Each of you have been given a spiritual gift by God to build his church. Do you have any idea what it is? Some do, some don't. Next week, we're going to search those scriptures together and find what are the spiritual gifts or gifts that God has given to you. Now, a sermon will get some done, but if you really want to go deep into it, I want to recommend to you a class that starts this Wednesday, and it'll run for four Wednesdays, called What You Do Best in the Body. You know, the body of Christ, the church. What you do best in the body, all about discovering who God made you to be and the gifts he's given you. And you can go to the Round Kiosk and sign up for that class that starts this Wednesday and explore who God made you to be. You can also do it just by going on the calendar on Lakeland Connect and finding the class. You can sign yourself up for it by pushing two buttons. So we'll offer that to you as well. Let us pray together. Father, we come seeking purpose, seeking answers, seeking connection with you and with others. Pray, Lord, for every person here and not here that you would help them to find those things. Lord, let our story now become part of your story of how you bring people together to serve you and to know you and be known and to love and be loved and to celebrate and be celebrated. We pray this in the name of Christ Jesus. Amen. Let's stand together for the benediction. If we have not gotten to meet before, if you're a newer, there's a 10-minute coffee with Pastor. It'll start right after this service. So there's three doors and then a fourth one that goes that way. I'll be right outside that door. And just 10 minutes, we can drop by and say hello and get to know each other just a little bit more. I would love to do that. So at this time we have our benediction. It's a good word that's said over the congregation. So the good word is to you that God does have a wonderful purpose and a wonderful plan for your life. And you were not made to walk alone. And you have an invitation to join God's picnic whenever you want to accept. You are accepted. Go in peace.